Hello and welcome to the Gadget Show podcast. This week we're joined again by Editor-in-Chief of T3.com, Matt Gallagher, who's here to reveal all the winners from this year's T3 Awards and why that tech has defined the last 12 months.
And importantly, we're also talking about one of the biggest stories in gaming right now, Sony stopping production of physical PlayStation games from 2028. What does it mean for collectors? Should gamers be worried about a future where you never truly own what you buy?
But before we get into all of that, a quick word from our friends at CEX.
Whether you're into the latest flagship tech or hunting down a bargain, getting the most for your money has never been more important.
And that's where our friends at CEX come in.
Because they'll buy your unwanted phones, tablets, laptops, games, consoles, cameras, and loads more, giving you cash or even more value in in-store credit.
And if you're buying, CEX has a huge range of pre-owned tech, from the latest smartphones and games consoles to laptops, smartwatches, VR headsets, and even retro gaming classics. There's something for every budget and specialty.
And unlike buying from a random online marketplace, everything comes with a 5-year warranty, giving you genuine peace of mind.
So whether you're looking to upgrade, trade in, or simply see what your old gadgets are worth, head to webuy.com or visit your local CEX store. You might be surprised just how much value is sitting around your house. Right, before we get started, can I say a huge thank you to everyone who's been watching, listening and leaving comments for our recent Future Predictions episode that we did with John. The response, honestly, has been absolutely brilliant and we've loved reading through everything. Mousel and the Cloud said, honestly, you guys have hardly aged. I'm not sure about that. I never miss an episode of The Gadget Show and it's so nice to see you all again. Very nostalgic and still relevant. Thank you very much. Do you want to read the next one, Jace?
Yeah, this is Marco Genovese 9727 who said, no way it's been 20 years and no way you've aged 20 years. That's very nice of you to say so. Great show. Thank you.
Trevor Berridge 6079 says your predictions were all great. And I, for one, hope you copyrighted some of your original ideas because I would love to bomb along on a double jet, quadruples overkill, propelled bicycle. And finally, Ian Alder 9911 has decided to give us all a new nickname because after John was crowned the David Attenborough of tech, I'm apparently now the goddess of gadgets.
I think that's reasonable. And I'm apparently the geek with a tweak.
Reasonable.
I'm not sure what that means. I don't know what... I'm a tweaker, apparently. Anyway, we love the comments. Please keep them coming.
Seriously, though, thanks to everybody who takes the time to leave a comment, because whether you've been with us since the TV days or whether you've only just joined the Gadget Show podcast, we really do read them and we genuinely, they mean so much to us. If you're not already, make sure that you're subscribed so that you're notified of all our latest episodes and keep those comments coming. Right then, Jace, PlayStation obviously has been on your mind over the last few weeks. Tell us more.
Well, I mean, it's one of the biggest stories in tech. It's monumental, actually, and especially huge for gamers specifically. The story is, of course, that Sony has confirmed from 2028 it's going to stop producing physical PlayStation games. So no more discs, digital only. And honestly, I think it's a really bad move. And a lot of people are trumpeting the same point. There's been a massive pushback. You know, so let's be clear about this. I think we all understand the business argument, right? And the ecological argument, actually, to be fair. Around 80% of PlayStation games are already bought digitally. So there's also a cultural case in favor of it, right? So there's no manufacturing of discs. There's then no shipping of cases, physical plastic cases, all around the world using yet more resources. But just because something makes financial sense for Sony doesn't mean it's better for gamers, because here's what we're losing. When I buy a physical game, and as I sit here, Susie, in my studio, right, I can pick up a number of, I can just pick up retro gaming kit just by not even stretching, right? And 100 times the amount of physical games that I've got in the shelving over there, right? Just because it makes a business case for Sony doesn't mean that it makes a case for me. When I buy a physical game, it's mine.
Yours. Yeah.
Right? It's a bit like buying a physical console, actually. Well, let's be honest. It's going to be the next thing to go as it all goes on, into a cloud, right?
It's how I feel about vinyl. It's the same thing. It's music. It's streaming versus physicality, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Have you got any Led Zeppelin on vinyl?
Yeah.
Can I borrow it, please?
Yeah. Do you want to talk about this after the pod, or...?
That's the point I'm making, right?
Oh, because we can lend it to each other. Yeah,
you can lend it to a friend. You know, if I buy my Led Zeppelin vinyl, right, and then it goes up in value, right, I can then sell it. If I need to sell it, I can trade it into CEX. This isn't an advert for CEX. It's a statement of fact. They just happen to be our sponsor and are critically important in this kind of debate, as it happens. 20 years from now, you know, anything that I've bought today will still have value. It may even go up in value, right? So now let's look at digital. With all of its convenience eco-credentials, with digital, you're effectively buying a license. So if a publisher loses a license, if a service closes, if a game gets delisted, something that you've paid for can disappear. There's also an interesting case this week. I can't remember the details of it. An Xboxer lost connection to their account, and it had tens of thousands of pounds worth or dollars worth of games, and they couldn't play them. They couldn't have access to them. I don't know whether they've recovered them or not. Obviously, there are some recovery processes, but you're kind of relying on the goodwill of the people that you've spent thousands of pounds with, should the worst case scenario happen. You know, we've already seen Sony remove hundreds of purchased films from people's digital libraries because of licensing agreements. It wasn't games, granted, but it proves the same thing. Digital ownership, you know, isn't really...
It's not really ownership, is it?
Well, it's not perceived as such by some of the IP holders. That's the problem. I mean, I wouldn't mind so much if when I bought a digital copy of a game, there was a cast iron way of me being connected to that. So it was kept in a vault somewhere with my details, a bit like a Bitcoin is, right? Mm. But that's not the case. Or is it? I don't know. Maybe I could be educated by some of our brilliant listeners and viewers on this. And maybe some of you disagree. I don't know. Maybe this is something that us OGs, with our very real, Susie, connection to the analog world, maybe this is something that we're really bothered about. Maybe other gamers see the convenience and the eco argument of digital only ownership. I don't know.
Well, that's the word, convenience, isn't it? That's why digital works for people, because it's so convenient and it's instant. You haven't got to wait for something to turn up in the post or go somewhere to actually physically buy something, which is what we like. We like that contact and that relationship with that physical item. I don't know what the answer is, but I agree with all of your points, because I feel the same way about films and music and everything. And also, it's down to that thing that I always talk about, trust. Do you trust the tech company to look after you? Well, come on, no one does really, do they, anymore? Because they haven't proved themselves.
Right now, there's an open market around physical games, right? So, you know, when you can go hunting for bargains and buy and sell things to friends on car boot sales, or if you go into CX and other shops that do a similar service, then, you know, you are... contributing to a global market price, aren't you? Mm. And when that's no longer possible, Sony become the gatekeepers of not just the content, but its value. And that's problematic. I think that's problematic.
Yeah.
You know, if there's only one shop selling ice creams in Nuki, then they're going to be able to name the price, aren't they? Luckily, there's about 78, but you get my point.
Yeah, and it sets a precedent, doesn't it, for all of the tech companies, really. What about the argument about Steam Deck? Because obviously that's been digital for years and nobody pushes back about that.
It's a really good point. So Steam obviously is a much more, I would argue, it's a much more open platform than PlayStation's, in that I can interact with, play most of my content from Steam across, you know, just about any device that I have, right? I can play it in my VR helmet. I can play it in on my my tablet, this gaming computer, my Steam Deck, and so many other platforms. Secondly, I think it's different, right? Because it's a portable device, and so the notion of me having small UMDs like on the Sony PSP, actually is a little bit inconvenient.
Yeah.
Having a kind of CD case full of Sony games was the least compelling case for owning a portable Sony device back in the day, right? So digital works there. It's convenient. So I still have an issue around ownership, around where, what are my rights? Can I sell my, we have effectively been sleight of handed by the gaming industry, actually. And I would include Steam in that criticism and Xbox, in that I should have the same rights to resell my digital game that I paid, if it's AAA, like 70 quid for, as I did when it was in physical form.
But you can't.
Not to my knowledge, and unless I'm missing the point. I say not to my knowledge because I live to be informed. I'm here to for people to push back. And I'm also not going to pretend that I'm, some kind of tribute that only trumpets, a particular perspective. There may be people listening and watching this podcast that see why Sony are doing what they're doing. I'm struggling to get behind it, but maybe it's because I'm a first generation gamer, someone that started gaming in 1979. That means it's a very different reality to me. And of course, you mentioned other platforms in the case of Steam, Susie. Xbox's rumored Project Helix, I think it was first announced in March of this year, so the next Xbox physical console, is also pointing towards an all digital future. So if PlayStation goes first and nobody pushes back, it seems like everyone's going to follow on.
Yeah.
This isn't really about discs, or cartridges. It's about choice. If you love downloading your games and you've got no issue with this, then fine, carry on. But don't take away the option for those of us that absolutely love going down the high street and being able to trade games or borrow friends' games, because that's part of the joy in the culture of gaming.
Yeah, I wonder what can be done though, really, because I suppose as a company, they'll look at the percentages, won't they? And they'll go, well, it's only 20%, we'll just phase that out. Because we know what companies are interested in. Let's not, beat about the bush here. So, I don't know. I don't know what you can do.
Well,
I'd be interested to see what happens. Go on, have you got an idea?
Maybe you could sign a petition. We've done it before, I remember, and I'm sure you've done similar things. I remember going to, was it the House of Parliament? I think it was like a government building in Westminster where we went for the gadget show with a petition. I think it was about broadband.
Was it Sky? It was about Sky. It was the Up To line. I remember it really well, the campaign.
Okay.
And so we did it on the show. Yeah, that's true.
Would you, listeners and viewers of the Gadget Show podcast, sign a petition? All right. And if enough of us had a problem with this particular way that the gaming industry is going, would it potentially make enough noise to get the likes of Sony and Microsoft to take note? I mean, the instant response is like, probably not, right? But you'd be surprised.
Surprised. It starts the conversation. They're good at starting conversations and just giving them a prod to go, actually, there's a lot of people unhappy about this. So, yeah, it could be an interesting get signing.
Well, we've got a technology minister for a reason. Let's just put that out there. Not promising anything. And maybe some other petitions already exist and it might be more strategically minded to get behind some existing ones. I don't know. But I'm just putting the idea out there, just off the cuff.
Yeah, let us know what you think, if you feel strongly about this, in the comments, and hopefully we can take this forward.
Quick question. If I handed you £5,000 and dropped you into CEX right now, what would you buy? Because one of our Patreon supporters is about to find out.
That's right. After our previous winner, Richard Wykes, won big last series, we're giving another lucky supporter £5,000 to spend at CEX.
And £5,000 at CEX goes a very long way. You could pick almost anything from your tech wish list.
Like a gaming PC, a PlayStation 5 Pro, an Xbox Series X, a Nintendo Switch 2 for family game nights, a 32-inch TV for the bedroom, a big OLED for the living room, a premium soundbar, a 4K Blu-ray player,
a MacBook Pro, a new iPhone, an iPad, an Apple Watch, AirPods Pro, a flagship Android phone, or a powerful gaming laptop,
a DSLR camera, a couple of lenses, a drone to capture your holiday from above, an action camera, a smartwatch, noise-cancelling headphones for the daily commute, a VR headset, or a tablet to keep the kids entertained.
Or go retro. retro with the Dreamcast, a GameCube, an N64, a PlayStation 2, and a stack of retro games.
Whatever your tech obsession, £5,000 at CEX could completely transform your setup. And thanks to our friends at T3, the winner will also receive a one-year subscription to the T3 magazine.
How very cool. To win with the chance of winning, simply become a Patreon supporter. Depending on your membership tier, you automatically receive one, three or five entries into the draw.
Every Patreon supporter gets ad-free episodes, early access to new shows, exclusive bonus content and access to our brilliant community of fellow gadget lovers.
And if you join the Max tier, you'll also unlock the entire Gadget Show archive. That's nearly 20 years of gadget reviews, epic road trips, legendary crashes. It doesn't say that in my script. It says challenges, but that was a thing, especially for Susie Perry.
Yes, it did.
Behind the scenes extras and plenty of iconic gadget moments.
Head to patreon.com/thegadgetshow to join, and you'll find all the competition details plus the full terms and conditions in the episode description. So good luck.
Every year, the team at T3 tests hundreds of products across every corner of the tech world before deciding which brands, products or people Susie Perry, Jason Bradbury, have truly stood out over the last years. I say that, by the way, we're not pushing ourselves up, but we were both very grateful recipients of a T3 award, weren't we, Susie?
Yes, I've still got it. A long, long time ago that was, wasn't it? Well, the T3 Awards have become one of the biggest events in the tech calendar. And joining us to talk through this year's winners is the man who oversees all of it, Editor-in-Chief of T3.com, Matt Gallagher. Welcome back to the podcast, Matt.
Hi, Susie. Hi, Jason. How are you doing?
Good.
Yeah, we're all right,
good,
thank you. We've had a bit of a moan, so we should be a bit more upbeat now.
Can we start with brand of the year?
So this year, Garmin took it. Garmin is obviously known for its smartwatches mostly at the moment. Years ago, it was, for me, Garmin was all about the sat-navs, but Garmin is now the name for smartwatches, and the flagship Fenix 8 Pro is just absolutely stunning. But they do a full range of watches, and this year has definitely been a year for them. They've upped their game in every product they've put out. Their numbers also tell a good story. They're making huge amounts of profit. They're the brand that everyone is talking about, really.
I remember, Matt, like before the Gadget Show, I had one of the first commercially available Garmins for the kind of mass market consumption. It was called the GPS 90, I think. And it was a really odd thing with a great big sort of techie looking aerial. And I used to go flying. I was learning to be a pilot and I used to navigate around with it. But I also try and use it in my car. And it had no database of anything really, apart from like, well, it had airspace in it. But it would just give you almost like Latin long and a kind of arrow of, you know, so you knew whether you're going northeast or something. It was so basic. Grey screen or sort of green display with black lines on it. I mean, how about that? And now, what are some of the features that the winning watch or the watch that got them the brand of the year, what sort of features has it got that are standout?
I mean, these watches are known for their battery life. Their battery life is absolutely huge on these. You know, you've got most tech products will give you kind of a day battery life. We're talking kind of weeks battery life on some of these watches. You know, they're designed to be used outdoors and they will just last. And the Fenix 8 has the AMOLED screen option as well. So like the entire spec is just really high end. You know, they are really impressive watches if you really need something to kind of last outdoors and kind of doing outdoor sports, whether you're kind of doing triathlons, whether you're running, whether you're doing rock climbing, these are the watches to go for.
Next up then is retailer of the year. In the UK, the winner is IKEA, while in the US, it's B&H. Matt, what did those retailers do to earn the honours then?
Well, I think IKEA has really surprised us over the last couple of years, but certainly their line of tech products has really stood out in the UK over the last year. You know, they had those partnerships with Sonos before to create those speakers, and they've come back now with their own brand of smart speakers. They've got a full line of smart tech. It's all really affordable. Some of it, you know, it's not the most high end, but it works and it's really impressive. Some of it looks absolutely fantastic. And, you know, who thought a few years ago you'd be talking about IKEA for smart home products?
It's not. It's got that sort of teenage engineering look, hasn't it?
You know, definitely.
That kind of Berlin minimalism and lots of interesting colours, and the white and the black, chiaroscuro, one of my favourite words, that is, Suze. You know, I'm a big fan, actually. I'm a big fan. And who would have thought, Susie, if we'd been on the Gadget Show, like, you know, 15, 20 years ago, and we'd said, like, oh, yeah, T3 Awards, IKEA are going to win Retailer of the Year. And yet, I'm not giggling in a sort of mocking way. I'm laughing because isn't it amazing how things change? And I really agree, really well-deserved of that award.
Yeah, I guess they're doing to tech, you know, what they've been doing to furniture for years, essentially, aren't
making
they?
Making it infeasingly frustrating to put together.
Leaving a tiny little screw at the end of it, you're like, where's that supposed to go? Flatpak Queen, I am, just so you know. The Sustainability Award goes to the Surrey 2.0 toothbrush mat. What impressed the judges about this one then?
Well, the Surrey toothbrush, the first model was really popular when it first came out, and the 2.0 has just kind of upped that, really. It's it uses completely recycled brush heads. It's a great looking device as well, but what really sets it apart is those brush heads. They are plant based. So they're completely compostable. Just if you think about when you're changing those brush heads on the electric toothbrush, all of that goes to waste. It's all plastic. You don't have that issue with the Surrey. So you're kind of, it's helping save the planet at the same time as save your teeth, which has got to be a good thing.
And talking of teeth then, I suppose the obvious question is, how good is it? Because on the Gadget Show, we used to obsess about Philips and Oral-B and pit them against each other. So how well does it clean your teeth, the Surrey?
It is really good. And yeah, we've obviously tested it against all of those big name products. Obviously, your Oral-B and Philips have led the way for many years. But this one really does compete. It's definitely one to consider. It's got the power. It can actually perform, and it's up to that level. But it also has the sustainability side as well.
Shall we move on to the Tech Innovation Awards?
Yeah, this is a great one. So this year it goes to Lego Smart Play, which I know Matt and I are fans of, because when I held up my Lego Smart Play device recently on the podcast, you held up yours, which is quite funny. Yeah, and it's a genuine innovation, isn't it? The little smart brick.
Absolutely. It's when they launched this back in January at CES, like it was the innovation of the show by a long way. And yeah, I don't think it's been topped this year. Like, Lego have really taken it to a next level with the Smart Play stuff. It's really clever the way it works. I know we've talked about this before, but in such a tiny brick that you've got all of those sensors and you've got a synthesizer. This isn't playing pre-made sounds. It's creating sounds as it goes. It's a really impressive piece of kit.
It's just great. And for once, you know, a really good move from a legacy brand into a digital area of the business, in this case toy design, that actually has real integrity and has legs and can take them in all kinds of really interesting directions at no massive cost either. Yep. The sets aren't stupidly expensive.
No, and we've we started off with the Star Wars stuff. We've already now seen that they've moved into Pokemon as well. So Pokemon are going to have the Smart Play system within those. So yeah, there's just no end to where this can go. I expect to see Smart Play across all of the Lego ranges. And yeah, it just makes it so much fun.
Yeah, and it keeps them so relevant and on top of the toy and collector's tree as well. Really clever, smart move. The Reader's Choice Award, then, this is voted for by T3's audience. That goes to the Samsung Galaxy S26 Ultra this year, Matt. Why do you think this resonated so strongly with your readers?
I mean, it's the phone that also won our best phone of the year. So it made sense that this would work for our readers as well. They've stepped up the S25 Ultra to this next level. A lot of the kind of the advances are in this privacy display. That privacy display is really, really clever. The fact that you can blank out different areas, you can blank out individual apps from being seen over your shoulder, you can just cover the notifications. But on top of that, it's a really solid phone. It's got four cameras on the back, it's got the integrated S Pen. It's kind of everything that you'd want from a high-end flagship smartphone, really.
Person of the year, interestingly, despite the fact that he's on the way out from Apple, is Tim Cook. What do you make of that?
You know, I think Tim Cook has had an amazing 15 years at Apple, and I think this was the perfect way to honour that, really. I think, you know, this is his final couple of months now in charge as CEO. Obviously, he's still going to be within Apple and still going to be relevant, but in that kind of leading role. And I think for what he's done to the company, it's, you know, we've seen how much the company's grown. We've seen some great products come out. So, yeah, it completely just made sense that he would take that.
Right, now on to British Icon. The British Icon Award goes to Sir Tim Berners-Lee, Matt. Was he the obvious choice for this? And if so, why?
So this was an interesting one. We wanted to do something special because this is 30 years of T3. You know, we started in 1996. So we wanted to bring in something. T3 is obviously a British brand. And so we wanted to honour a British icon. And so we did look at quite a number of names. But I think when it came down to it, the impact that Sir Tim Berners-Lee had by basically creating the internet. Like he created the World Wide Web as we know it today. So it was his work while he was at CERN that kind of brought all this together, and he brought the TCP and DNS together and created the first browser. He created a way for us to interact over the internet. And yeah, we wouldn't have the podcast we have today, we wouldn't have T3.com as we have it today without the work that he did. So for that reason alone, I think it has to be him.
Yeah, he's a legend. Really approve of that one. So I think it's the product of the year now, Susie. So you've got the honours.
Yeah, the big one. This year's winner is the Adidas Adizero Adios Pro Evo 3. Why did they deserve to take top prize then?
Well, I mean, it might sound a strange thing for T3 to be doing, celebrating a pair of running shoes for our product of the year, but these are really something special. If you look at the London Marathon, two of the runners actually broke that two-hour marathon barrier, which, you know, that was absolutely incredible. And both of them were wearing these shoes. And one of the women runners also broke the women's world record in the same shoe. So, obviously, these are top-level athletes, and they've trained and everything else that goes into it. But the fact that all three of these people were wearing the Adidas Adizero trainers, it has to say something.
Yeah, so the whole wearable tech thing, and I just wonder what those Adidas shoes have got that makes the body maybe be able to move differently. I don't know. Maybe I could get a PB if I wore those Adidas.
Yeah, I mean,
I think at the park run, you probably would.
Yeah, park
and
run.
And I also think they're very beautiful. They're a genuinely original design, aren't they, Matt?
Yeah, they look fantastic, and you know, I think people will buy them for that alone. But yeah, they claim a 1.6 improvement in running economy, and you know, if it's 1.6% on that park run, then great, you get that better time.
Do you know how much they are? I'm seriously thinking about having a look at a pair of these. What sort of cost are they?
450 quid.
No!
Yeah.
That's
quite a lot. But they're beautiful. And they do that thing that our executive producer from back in the day, Ewan, on The Gadget Show used to do, which is they've got a big sole, so they make you look taller.
Leave that in. Right, looking back across T3's entire history, you've named, and I'm very happy that you've named this, the Apple iPod as the biggest product in T3's lifetime. So why has the iPod stood the test of time above almost everything else? I could answer this for you, but I will engage.
I mean, we talked quite a lot about this in the T3 team, and what it came down to is the fact that the iPod wasn't just a product. It completely changed how we listen to music. You know, there were MP3 players around before the iPod, obviously, but when it came out, it was that combination of the storage and the usability and the whole system, the iTunes system which came with it, that just completely changed how people experience music. That gave way to people buying music online and changing the way that people purchase the music. And, you know, even though it eventually got phased out when the iPhone kind of came in and you didn't need a separate device, I don't think there would have been an iPhone if there hadn't have been an iPod. So, you know, we looked at whether the iPhone, you know, it's also a very iconic product, but I think without the iPod, there never would have been an iPhone. So for that reason alone, the iPod has to stand as the product, really.
Also, can I just throw in, it was, for me, it was like the first, truly first unisex gadget that everybody wanted to have. I think in the way that it was designed in such a simple, beautiful way. Which obviously became Apple's kind of DNA, didn't it, moving forward?
Absolutely. The picture we used was actually my original iPod, which, you know, I had for years, and I used it in the car, and it was just beautiful. Like, I don't think there's any other product that just felt so positive to use as well. That click wheel was really positive, and it was just fun, and it was just easy to use.
Matt, thank you so much for insight today and those awards. That was fascinating stuff. Thank you very much. Is there anything you'd like to leave us with before you go? Any nuggets of gold or information?
Or maybe even a prediction of who you think might be making the lineup next awards.
Oh, that's a tough one. I think Apple have got some great stuff coming later this year. You know, there's talk about the new folding devices, so maybe Apple will continue with that. But who knows? I think what we've seen is we've seen new products come in, and I think at the moment there's room for everything to change over next year. So I think we've got to wait till next year to decide that.
Well, that's it for another episode of the Gadget Show podcast.
And thank you to all of you for listening, watching, and of course getting involved. Whether you left a comment, shared the podcast, or simply hit play this week, we appreciate you.
Yeah, you know, if you've got thoughts on Sony ditching physical games, or maybe you think the T3 Awards got a winner completely wrong, let us know in the comments. This podcast, this community is fueled by you getting involved and letting us know what you think.
And a very special thank you to our Patreon supporters. If you're watching on YouTube, you'll be seeing your names on the screen right now. Your support helps us keep making more podcasts, of course, more videos and bigger projects.
Yeah, if you'd like to join those incredibly good-looking and intelligent people, you'll get ad-free episodes, early access to new shows, exclusive bonus content, access to our community, the full Gadget Show archive, and you'll automatically be entered into our £5,000 CX shopping spree giveaway.
Yes. You can find out everything that you need to know at patreon.com.